Welcome to the third episode of Inside One from Solaris Therapeutics, a deep tech company in the intersection of machine learning and life sciences. My name is Amir, and I'm the head of computational chemistry at Solaris Therapeutics, and will guide you through this episode. This series contains 7 episodes and called Inside One. It shows you the insights of Solaris Therapeutics. It is my pleasure to have Dr. Oscar Hoff, our head of medicinal chemistry at Solaris Therapeutics, as my guest. Oscar is an experienced organic chemist and recently earned his PhD from the distinguished University of Oxford. We will discuss in depth the various chemical aspects of degraders and how we tackle the challenges we face in this uncharted territory.
Hi, Amir. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Oscar, let's start from the basics. We hear these small molecules drugs, also known as pharmaceutics, and we also hear about biological drugs a lot. So could you perhaps explain their differences and sort of clarify what is the focus of the Solaris Therapeutics?
Yeah, of course. So let's start with the difference between proteins and small molecules. I'll start with proteins. Usually they act as enzymes. It's a very harsh simplification to view proteins just as enzymes. But for the time being, and for this discussion today, I think it's going to be sufficient to just view the enzyme part of proteins. There are other tasks that they do, but for now, that's enough. So these enzymes, they catalyze biochemical reactions in our bodies. That sounds quite complicated, but basically what they're doing, they're enabling processes in any living organism. And those are processes like moving our muscles, digesting our food, or building up body tissues, which are, of course, vital for us. Structurally speaking, proteins consist of amino acids joined together to long chains. And these chains then fold up into various 3D structures. And these structures are much, much larger than small molecules. And then small molecules, on the other hand, can be very small, as the name suggests. A very simple small molecule, for example, is ethanol, which many of us consume when we drink wine or beer. A famous example for a small molecule drug is acetylsalicylic acid, and is better known as aspirin by its trade name. Here at Solaris Therapeutics, our expertise lies in the development of small molecule degraders. So those are small molecules that cause protein degradation.
Interesting. So as I understood it, there was lots of words in there, but essentially we have these biological entities which our body consists and do lots of functionality. And also we have these small molecules that we utilize to cure diseases and etc. So for me, is that exactly how these small molecules interact with our body?
Okay, so small molecules can interact with proteins in various ways. So now we're talking about a small molecule that is a drug and a protein that is native, so it's part of our body. And if they interact, we can talk about a ligand-protein interaction. So if a small molecule acts as a ligand towards a protein, it interacts and it binds to that protein. The majority of consisting small molecule drugs are so-called inhibitors. And those inhibitors, ideally, they bind specifically to one enzyme or to a specific enzyme. They do that in a certain part of a protein, and we call this certain part active site. And this active site is usually used by the enzyme to catalyze those biological processes that we talked before. But the inhibitor, by binding this active site, it blocks the function of the enzyme. So essentially, if we say this enzyme is now not part of our body, but it's part of our body, but it's part of cancer, for example, and we can block this enzyme, then the cancer dies and the patient recovers from the disease.
So that's why the analogy of, you know, key and lock is always used when we're talking about drug discovery. So essentially, yeah, these ligands are the key and they bind to the active site and sort of change their functionality or either block or inhibit the functionality. So, okay, in that case, how degraders are different exactly?
So your analogy with key and lock is very good, and that's often used. So degraders are completely different in terms of that they don't try to block the lock by competing with other keys to fit in there, but they will just completely remove the whole lock. So what they're doing is they use mechanisms in our body that will ensure that our proteins are degraded and then the lock is gone.
So could you a little bit elaborate on that? Because I understand there are many other competing inhibitors who want to inhibit the proteins, but how can we really remove a protein?
Yeah, so there are multiple methods that our bodies use to recycle proteins. And the mechanism that we are interested in is the proteasome. So the proteasome, as I just said, is a natural occurring mechanism to recycle proteins. It occurs in all eukaryotic cells. And the way this happens is that when our cells think that a protein has outlived its purpose, it gets labeled by a so-called ubiquitin tag. And the proteasome recognizes this ubiquitination or ubiquitin tag and thus digests the tagged protein, and the amino acids and the building blocks can then be recycled within the cell.
Interesting. So I understand our body have essentially this deleting function of, you know, removing the unwanted proteins and like any biological entities, but how we can really use this in our case?
So the ubiquitination is catalyzed by another enzyme. Here we're again with enzymes. And this enzyme is called E3 ligase. Generally speaking, enzymes are named after the reaction they enable, and ligases cause ligation. And that's the binding of another molecule. In our case, this other molecule is the ubiquitin tag we already talked about. And this is catalyzed by the E3 ligase. And our degraders are designed in such a manner that they bring the E3 ligase with the ubiquitin tag in close proximity to our protein of interest, causing ubiquitination of the protein of interest and subsequent degradation in the proteasome.
So I have heard of person of interest, but never heard of a protein of interest. Could you a little bit elaborate on that exactly?
Yeah. So the protein of interest is basically the target that we select within the biological system that we are approaching, like our bodies when we treat cancer, for example. So you can also call it a target, and that's the target we select for degradation. So if we are, again, with a cancer, if we're looking to treat a cancer, we choose a protein that is unique and essential to this type of cancer, and then we choose it as our target or protein of interest.
Okay, really nice. So if I want to put this in sort of a perspective, these degraders bring the protein of interest close to the E3 ligase, right? And the protein gets ubiquitinated, right? And these proteasomes recognize the ubiquitination on these protein of interest and breaks the proteins in the building blocks, right? So what happens to the protein? Would it remain there and do the process again, or
the protein can actually remain there. So after ubiquitination took place, it can be recycled and it can be reused.
Okay. So these small molecule degraders look like, what is the composition, chemically speaking, what are the differences between the small molecules?
So we talked about small molecules before, and the degraders that we are talking about are also small molecules, just like aspirin. However, they're usually a bit more complex than small molecules like ethanol or aspirin, because they have to fulfill multiple requirements. The first requirement is that they have to bind to the E3 ligase, and that part of the proteic is going to be called binder. Secondly, they have to interact with the protein of interest, and we like to call this unit warhead. And then, because we want to bring the E3 ligase and the protein of interest close together, we link the two parts. So we link the binder and the warhead with a linker.
Okay, understood. So we have essentially three parts: warhead, linker, and binder. Okay. So does this linker have any other roles instead of, you know, just connecting warhead and the binder?
Absolutely, yeah. So the linker is not just a piece of molecular string that keeps the binder and the warhead together. There are multiple reasons why it is actually important what kind of linker we use. There are very simple things like solubility and permeability of the cell, but specifically for this interaction to take place, the length and flexibility of the linker is crucial. So those proteins, the E3 ligase is a protein and the protein of interest is also a protein, they also interact with each other. And that's why the length and the flexibility is important, because the event when the three come together, so the E3 ligase, the small molecule degrader, and the protein of interest, this event when all three parts are in a complex together is what we call ternary complex formation. And this is paramount for ubiquitination and then proteasomal degradation afterwards. And moreover, the linker is also important for selectivity of this interaction. So let's say we're still looking for treatment for this cancer that we talked about. And so we selected a protein that is specific to the cancer, but the human body of the patient also has a similar protein. It's not identical to the protein of the cancer, but it's similar enough. And we really don't want to harm the patient, because obviously that's not good. So we're looking to make a degrader that is selective for the cancerous protein, but not the selective for the protein of the cancer over the protein of the patient. And that's when we talk about targeted protein degradation, and the linker plays a vital role for that.
Lots of moving parts here. And I guess I get the understanding, like, what is the difference between degraders and inhibitors? So just for the audience out there, to my understanding, inhibitors block the enzymes and their functionality by binding to the active site, but degraders kind of remove these proteins completely, sort of delete them. I understand these are, you know, compoundly different and, you know, chemically different, but conceptually, how they are really different. So, you know, we have inhibitors, right? What does degraders put on the table? Why should we work on this?
So that's a very good question. First of all, inhibitors have been around for much longer, and most of the drugs that we know so far, small molecule drugs, are inhibitors. And targeted protein degradation is quite new, so it's an emerging field. Thus, there are more opportunities for us, but there are also more unanswered questions for us to tackle when it comes to targeted protein degradation. And as we discussed earlier, once a degrader molecule causes ubiquitination and the protein of interest is labeled and is going to be digested in the proteasome, the degrader can interact with the next protein of interest. So this is like a catalytic mode of action, whereas the inhibitor, it stucks in the active site and it's stuck there to do its job at best, but the degrader can label one protein of interest after the other. So that's a conceptually very important difference to inhibitors, because that catalytic mode allows the degraders to act at lower concentrations. So basically you have to take smaller pills. You don't have to take as much into your body, which is a problem for toxicity, to get the same effect as an inhibitor. And more importantly, the degrader warhead doesn't have to bind the protein of interest as tightly as an inhibitor needs to, because it doesn't have to compete with the natural substrate of the enzyme. So you can also use interactions, or you can make use of interactions that are not as strong, because it's sometimes quite tricky to develop those strong interactions. Another point is that inhibitors have to block the active site. We talked about this before, but a degrader just have to interact with this, with the protein of interest selectively over other proteins, but it doesn't matter where it interacts. So you have a whole surface of a protein to create interaction with, which gives us many more chances. And actually, I can't emphasize those points enough, that we can then, because we don't have to tackle an active site, which is necessary. So we need an active site for an inhibitor, but for a degrader, we don't need an active site. So we can actually tackle targets, protein of interest, which don't have active sites. So basically they're undruggable so far, and the diseases they were causing were incurable. And those targets are exactly diseases and targets that we're interested in.
Fantastic. So to me, there was like two major takeaways. First, these degraders are catalytic. So after they've done the degradation, they stay in our body, and they can do this over and over again. So it's kind of goodbye drug resistance in most of the cases. And also, because we don't need that active site, you know, binding, when our, let's say, cancer or HIV, they mutate, the binding site doesn't change. So we can still use the same degraders in our body and, you know, complete the degradation. So, but it's not that easy, is it? Right. So exactly what are we trying to do in the Celeris Therapeutics to get there?
So here at Celeris Therapeutics, we have a very diverse team of scientists, and we are looking to develop heterobifunctional degraders. We have a very strong team of machine learning engineers and programmers. They are working on an in silico solution to design degraders and predict ternary complexes between the protein of interest, the degrader, and the E3 ligase. I don't want to talk about this in too much detail here, because I'm sure following episodes will explain this much better than I can. And additionally to this in silico machine learning studies, we have an impressive team of computational chemists led by you, Amir. And then in the wet lab, we have a biology and a medicinal chemistry team. And together we want to develop a pipeline where we can actually accelerate this drug developing process for degraders as we know it currently.
Fascinating topics, and I'm eager to see where this interdisciplinary adventure will take us. It is certainly a great vision for the upcoming years and clear paths to get there. Thank you very much, Oscar, for that delightful discussion. The next episode will be talking about the impact of degraders. And thank you to our listeners for listening this lovely episode, and wish you all luck. Have a good day.